Welcome back to Brian's Spain Domain, and today we have another episode about women in Spanish history, a subject that in many ways has been overlooked over the years, over the decades. And during my research on Spanish history, I come up with examples over and over again of women who don't get the attention that they deserve. So I decided that I would devote a number of episodes to some of the many women throughout the ages that have had an impact on the history of Spain. Anyway, today we are going to focus on the fascinating subject of universal suffrage in Spain. Women's suffrage has existed in Spain for nearly 100 years. The first approval came about at a time when universal suffrage was taking hold in many parts of the world. In other parts it wasn't, but in many places it was. And Spain was no different, experiencing its own movement in favor of allowing women to go to the polls and vote. And just as what happened in many other countries, this initiative was met with a lot of resistance, for the most part by men, and even by some women. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But there were also many women and many men who advocated strongly for a woman's right to vote. But probably the most famous of all, it was a woman named Clara Campoamor. She wasn't the only one by any stretch of the imagination, but she's the one that sounds most familiar to many Spaniards. But probably few foreigners have ever heard of her. Her story is certainly worth remembering, so let's take a look and let me tell you a little bit more about her. Clara Campoamor Rodríguez stands out as one of the most influential figures in the history of Spanish feminism and democracy. As a politician, a lawyer, writer, and a relentless advocate for women's rights, Campoamor's legacy is cemented by her pivotal role in securing women's suffrage in Spain during the Second Republic. Her life was marked by determination, intellectualism, and an unwavering belief in equality and justice. Now, Campoamor was born on February 12, 1888 in Madrid, into a working-class family. Her father, Manuel, was a liberal and progressive accountant and a journalist, and her mother was a dressmaker. Manuel died when Clara was still a child. She was only 10, and that had a big impact on her life plans. Instead of focusing on education, she had to turn her efforts to contributing to the family economy and supporting her family, her brothers and sisters. As a young woman, she held various jobs. She was a seamstress, a telephone operator, typist, and a teacher. These experiences exposed her to the realities of working-class life and the limitations imposed on women by a deeply patriarchal and chauvinistic society. Campoamor was determined to rise beyond these constraints, and she started by returning to her education, her studies. At the age of 32, a time when most people considered their academic lives over, were working, married with kids, she went back to school. She completed her high school degree and then enrolled in law school at the University of Madrid and completed both in a record-breaking 4 years. So despite the hardships of her upbringing, she pursued her education with discipline and self-motivation. In 1924, when she finished, she became one of the few women in Spain to have earned a law degree and only the second to join the bar in Madrid. The bar in Spanish is called the Colegio de Abogados. Her entry into the legal profession was both groundbreaking and challenging. Spanish courtrooms were not accustomed to female lawyers, and Clara often faced discrimination. Nonetheless, she quickly gained a reputation as an articulate, principled, and persuasive legal mind. In fact, she would become the first woman to defend a case before the Supreme Court. If we were to stop there, we could argue that her life had been extraordinary. But we aren't finished yet, not even close. She now moved on to politics and the feminist movement. Before that, she had already been to England to see what was being done there and had worked with other feminists, Clara de Burgos, who was another fascinating person. We'll have to talk about her at a different time. Now, Clara's experience in politics came with the fall of, a little bit after the fall of Miguel Primo de Rivera's dictatorship, the end of the monarchy, and the establishment of the Second Spanish Republic in 1931. She was elected to the Cortes, the parliament, as a representative for Madrid under the Radical Party, one of the few parties at the time that allowed women to run for office. As a member of parliament, she would become the first woman to speak in the chamber, in the parliament chamber itself. She focused her energy on a pro-feminist agenda, which included, among other things, the right to divorce, which for Catholic Spain must have been a big shocker. And she also keyed in on the issue of women's suffrage. Now, contrary to what some people believe, there already existed a limited version of suffrage for women coming under the conservative dictatorship of Primo de Rivera. I point this out because sometimes people mention that women had no right to vote up until 1931, and that isn't exactly true. Technically, it wasn't true. There was a royal decree proclaimed in 1924, which declared that some women could vote in municipal elections, but the criteria that was required was unmarried women who were the head of their household, but over the age of 23, and were not prostitutes. That was actually one of the requirements there. And married women who were back then considered practically the property of their husbands did have the right to vote, but it could only come about if it was authorized by their husbands. So what do you think of that? Pretty crazy. Anyway, since we were talking about a dictatorship, there were no elections being held, and so it was sort of a decree there, but not one that had been carried out. There was a new constitution that was being drawn up at the end of the 20s, the 1920s, and there's an Article 58 which actually declared what would appear to be universal suffrage, but that constitution was never voted on, so nothing came of it. Anyway, there was sort of this timid beginning done probably for politics in mind. In other words, Primo de Rivera was probably looking for a conservative vote, but that was about it, and nothing really came of it. Ironically, in 1931, in those elections that created the Second Republic, women, or at least in some parties, could be elected to office. They just couldn't vote. So that's pretty crazy there. Anyway, the arrival of the 1931 Second Republic signaled a new beginning, as well as a new debate. And this is sort of an interesting part of this whole story here. You see, Campo Amor had a very clear idea of her position. True democracy could not exist without equal voting rights for women. She faced considerable resistance, in some cases from other women, female parliamentarians, such as Victoria Kent. She has a very English name, but she was Spanish, who argued that Spanish women were too influenced by the Catholic Church and would vote conservatively, and that would jeopardize the progressive agenda of the Republic. So this is an interesting point, and one that, in my mind, has hurt Kent historically, because she was clearly making a political policy a condition for granting the right to vote and not granting it as a principle. Victoria Kent would eventually move out of Spain at the end of the war when it was clear that Franco was going to take over. She went to Mexico, as did many intellectuals, looking for a place for exile. And then from there to the United States, where she eventually met and became the life partner of a woman named Louise Crane, a very wealthy woman and a patron of the arts, especially writers such as Elizabeth Bishop. She had actually met Bishop when they studied at Vassar, and they became a couple too for many years. But then later, Kent and Crane became life partners, and she lived for the rest of her life in the States and died in New York in 1987. She is buried alongside Crane in Redding, Connecticut. So the next time I am back there, I will have to try and track down her grave. Anyway, back to the debate. Campo Amor remained firm in her position. She rejected the notion that women needed more education before they could vote and insisted that political rights must precede and enable social progress. On October 1st, 1931, she gave a historic and passionate speech, one she addressed the Cortes, the Parliament, and is famous for saying, "I am a citizen before I am a woman. Granting women the vote is a matter of justice, not convenience." Her arguments prevailed, and on December 9th, 1931, the new Spanish Constitution, the Republic, was passed, and women gained the right to vote. It was a landmark victory for equality and a testament to Campo Amor's courage and eloquence. In the 1933 elections, Spanish women voted for the first time in national elections, and to many people's surprise, the conservative parties won. So despite her triumph by getting women to vote, Campo Amor paid a political price. The results of the election alienated parts of the left who believed that it was her fault, and she found herself increasingly marginalized within her own party and ultimately left. In 1934, she tried to form her own centrist party, but without success. Campo Amor continued to work as a lawyer and a writer, publishing El Voto Femenino y Yo, Mi Pecado Mortal, in 1935. That is translated as Women's Vote and Me, My Deadly Sin. It's a powerful defense of her suffragist efforts and a reflection of her political isolation. When the Spanish Civil War broke out in 1936, she found herself in a dangerous position. Though not aligned with either the far left or the far right, her liberal democratic values put her at risk in the increasingly polarized climate. She fled Spain, first to Switzerland, and later to Argentina, and then back to Switzerland. During her exile, she worked as a translator and a writer, but remained a vocal opponent of the Franco regime, which emerged victorious from the Civil War and ruled Spain as a dictatorship for nearly 40 years. Despite numerous efforts, Campo Amor was never allowed to return to Spain. She spent the rest of her life in exile in Switzerland, where she stayed active as a writer and a lawyer, but for issues involving Spain, not Switzerland. And I point this out because the choice of Switzerland as a residence is an ironic one, I have to admit, since the Alpine country was one of the last European nations to grant universal suffrage. This shocks most people, as it did me when I first learned about it, because it seems to go against what anyone would think of when thinking of Switzerland. I don't know, we think of a country that's progressive, modern, advanced. But this is true. The first main referendum on the subject of universal suffrage did not come until 1959. And only men could participate. And so logically, it was voted down decisively. And then they had another referendum in 1971. Once again, only men could vote, but this time women were granted the right to vote at the federal level. So they finally achieved this, but we're talking 1971. This is after the moon landing. This is after Woodstock. This is after the Beatles. The Amazing Mets, my baseball team of 1969. It's mind-boggling. And then there were still some regions in Switzerland that were resistant. In fact, the last region to grant the right to vote to women was Appenzell. And that didn't happen until the 1990s. The 1990s. I'm not sure if you heard me right. And that was done by court order. They were forced to allow women to vote. Anyway, Campo Amor died in Lausanne in Switzerland on April 30th, 1972, just 3 years before Franco's death and the eventual transition to democracy in Spain. Her remains, her ashes, I believe, were taken back to Spain, and they are now in San Sebastian. Clara Campo Amor's contributions were long overlooked by official history during the Franco years, but since the country's return to democracy, her legacy has been increasingly celebrated. Today, she is rightly recognized as one of the foremost pioneers of women's rights in Spain, and she has been honored in many ways. Streets, schools, and public institutions across Spain now bear her name. Statues and plaques honor her memory, and her writings have been republished and studied widely. Her role in achieving women's suffrage is taught in Spanish schools, and each year on March 8th, International Women's Day, her name is invoked as a symbol of justice and courage. Clara Campo Amor was much more than a suffragist. She was a visionary who believed in the transformative power of justice, law, and democracy. Her insistence on dignity and equality in the face of hostility and prejudice changed the course of Spanish history. As one of the first women to sit in the Spanish Parliament and the most prominent voice for women's suffrage, she left behind a legacy of courage and principle that transcends time. And that will be all for this episode brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please leave us any questions or comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, or Castos. You can also check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very, very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. We devote a lot of time, a lot of research, and a lot of effort. Anyway, our podcasts are free so that anyone can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.